Would invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6. In recent months, we have been looking studying on our Lord's Supper Sundays anyway, at Isaiah chapter 55. And so as we were coming to, I was preparing for this Lord's Day, it was a little bit of in my mind, well, now what? Since we finished Isaiah. And a passage that came to my mind is one that I think should be memorized by each of us, probably already. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It's really simple. It just contrasts works, what we deserve, to grace, what we thankfully receive. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that will be the focal point of the text of our message, but that verse is found in the context of a longer discussion on what we might call sanctification. And in my own life, I think Romans chapter 6 has given me more strength to overcome sin than any other. And I'll point out, in verse 16, for instance, it is just plain as day, right? Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? So when we feel compelled to indulge our sinful desires, what that really says is we are not serving the Lord Christ, but we are really serving ourselves, or we are serving sin. And so the ultimacy just really struck me and continues to strike me. Let's read the whole of Romans chapter 6. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon it. Gracious God, we thank you that we have this time to gather for worship, that we put your word, as it were, front and center in our worship, because we know that it is the means appointed for the provision of faith. And as we will celebrate the sacrament afterwards, that is not for the giving of faith, but for the confirming of that faith, that we might grow in our knowledge and assurance that we are, in fact, the children of God, and by that be motivated to so love and serve and persevere as we are yours. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we are burdened, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, even now, so now, present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you were now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we consider this one verse and this one chapter in the Word of God, we will find ourselves identifying with the Word and the ancillary will of God that is connected to it. The sermon title, I don't know if I'd keep it the next time, but The Stark Reality of Gospel Grace. And of course, what is the stark reality of gospel grace but that it is antithetical to sin, to the wages of sin, and that which we deserve. Yet God in grace supplies and provides what we need and what we find in Him. In the second Sunday of 2018, we finished in December looking at various passages connected to the return, rather the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in that celebration that we are reminded that look what God has done for us. He didn't leave us in our sin, but He left heaven and joined humanity through the womb of the Virgin Mary in order that He might suffer and die for our sins. The thought is appalling. It really, really is that the eternal God would come and humble Himself, as we even read in Philippians chapter 2, you know, that He humbled Himself to the point of death, even death on the cross. Unthinkable. And yet this is the Christian message. This is what we believe God has done for us in supplying for us the grace and mercy of the gospel. All of this to me as pastor has become even kind of brought to the fore. A number of you have seen the tract we've been working on, the low-cost edition of the Heidelberg Catechism. We call it the Complete Gospel, and in recent weeks we've created a website, and probably in the next month it'll be published and hopefully ready for distribution across the nation and maybe further. Who knows? Well, what is the gospel? If we're going to say this is the complete gospel, then I, as pastor, as author, at least some of the words of this piece of literature, it better be clear. What is the gospel? Well, the good news, in short is that the Almighty Creator has provided a way that sinful people like us could be reconciled to Him and brought into fellowship. In a nutshell, that's the good news. How did He do that? That's another question. Right? He did that through His own Son, by His substitutionary atonement in His death, suffering for our sins. And there's lots more to learn, right? But the point is that it's not, as I say, it's not shallow. It's not simplistic. But it's really deep truths that impact the human heart at the very deepest level. And of course, that is what the gospel does. It is directional. It is transformative. It is effectual in turning hard-hearted, selfish, sinful people into humble, meek, genuine servants of God. That's what it does. And I think the complete gospel, looking at not just a part of it, but in the breadth of it, it is part of the whole. And so we can't just take out little individual doctrine, say this is the gospel, because it's really the whole thing. And I think that's what's captured in like the Heidelberg Catechism. And I think that's the backdrop, this is my introduction, to this little verse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We will note this, that the Apostle Paul both defines for us and provides the solution to man's greatest problem. And so we will see as we look at the component parts of this verse, Romans 6:23. I'm not going to keep repeating the verse, but I hope you anchor it in your heart, that you see it substantive, that I need to know that verse. Maybe you put it on your bathroom mirror to remind you. It's that kind of verse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Our first point is the grace we didn't deserve. The second point, the grace we desperately needed. And then thirdly, the grace we delightfully, gladly celebrate. First, the grace we didn't deserve. Notice the terminology in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin. What's the difference between wages and gifts? That's right. You earn a wage. You deserve something. It's kind of a contractual arrangement. If you do this, I will give you that. And so if we fulfill the this, we earn that. Right? Well, what's a gift then? Do you deserve a gift? What about Christmas? Do you think you guys deserve Christmas presents? I think probably you do, though. What if there were no Christmas presents? You think, boy, Mom and Dad dropped the ball. I think Nora likes Christmas presents, right? Yeah? Well, the difference is wages are earned. Wages are deserved. Gifts are given. Unearned, undeserved. And so the grace we didn't deserve is the foil to it, right? Well, if grace is what we get that we don't deserve, what did we deserve? Well, the wages we deserved is death. Of course, this harks back to Genesis chapter 3, doesn't it? God was made man, male and female, Adam and Eve. And they disobeyed God. God said, of all the trees in the garden, you may freely eat. But of that one, what was it called? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's right. Don't eat that one. Right? Well, the devil comes along, says to Eve, did God say you shall not eat of all the trees? No, we may eat of all the trees, but of that one, we oughtn't eat it or touch it. Right? And then the devil kind of works his deceit. And he said, did you ever look at it, though? how luscious, how good, how tasty, how beautiful it is, how it'll make one wise, knowing the difference between good and evil. And of course, sin creeps in, creeped in. Convinced her, she took and ate and gave to her husband who was with her. On the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. All right, so the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So the wages we earn, you know, we might be fine scholars, get good grades. We might keep our rooms perfectly clean. We might always, you know, do our chores without being told, right? No? Well, we should, more than we do. And if we are told to do them, you know what the Bible says? Don't grumble or complain. But we are to be good servants, willing, ready servants to do all that we can and all that we may. So if we're talking about the grace we didn't deserve, it's pretty clear that it's also the grace that we desperately needed. The wages of sin is death. We deserve death. We deserve death. But the gift of God's grace is that we might have life. So, because the wages of sin is death, and that word is full of theological import and significance, spiritual death is the absence of spiritual life. You know, the description of the Bible, we are without hope in the world. We are separated from God. We only do evil all the time, is the Bible's description. And I think perhaps the clearest of verses in this whole subject is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, you are dead in your sins and trespasses. You are children of wrath, just like the others. And so we might expect, oh, here it comes. The next verse is going to say, therefore, boom, you're condemned and cast into the pit of hell. That's what we might suppose, but that's not what it says. It says, but God made us alive together with Christ. We were dead, but we were acted upon. We were resuscitated by God Himself, by His Word and Spirit, that we might have life before Him. And if you think about this, that's not even a new thought, because that's what happened in the garden. What did God have to do after Adam and Eve fell into sin? He calls them, brings them to Himself. He has to put enmity between them and the devil. Why? Because it was a love fest. And God says, no more. He put enmity where there was none. Think about that. Think about Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels are going to go and see if it's bad as it's as bad as it sounds. Is it bad as it smells up in heaven, right? But what happens? God gives life in the midst of death. He goes and takes Lot out of that judgment and condemnation and provides deliverance. Think of the flood. God says, I'm sorry that I made man. I'm just going to kill them all. That's what it says. Except there's a verse, is it verse 5? Verse 8, I forget which one it is, in Genesis chapter 6, but Noah found favor. You know what the word for favor is? Grace. God, Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. And so what we desperately needed was deliverance. We didn't deserve it. We couldn't earn it, but we graciously receive it. And that's what God gives, and that's what God supplies in the gospel to us. The wages of sin is death, what we deserve. But the grace that we desperately needed is the gift that comes freely. And it's like we sang or heard in the call to worship in Isaiah chapter 55. Come, drink, eat. without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for what is not food and your wages for what does not satisfy? Come, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord, says the prophet Isaiah. And he says, I will show you the one who will come, the one who will lay down his life and for you and give to you that which you need. And the third point is the grace that we gladly celebrate. And of course, that's all summed up in just a couple words, isn't it? The wages of sin is death, what we earn, what we ought to get, but, contrast, the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. We saw it this morning in our adult Sunday school, or our Sunday school class downstairs. That verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, nor has it entered into the minds of men what God has prepared for those who love Him. Above, beyond what we might hope or imagine, the Lord has set apart for His own. And of course, if this be the case, this gift of God is eternal life. It is the pearl of great price, isn't it? For which we give, sell, all that we have to acquire. It is the field that has this buried treasure. You know, this is the terminology that Jesus uses in the parables. He goes and sells all that he has and he buys this one field because of what's in there. This treasure. Of course, the point to us is what? If we know what we deserve, if we know what God graciously supplies, then arms open, right? Embrace by all means possible that which the Lord's grace has provided. The gift of God comes unmerited. Think about that. It comes unmerited. You don't deserve it. It's not a wage. It's a gracious gift from God. It is life to the dead. It is healing to the sick. It is the answer to the questioning. It is the fulfillment of the greatest longing. And so an essential component to our gratitude, why we can join the psalmist in singing praise and lifting up our voices, irregardless of who's in front of us or behind us, is because we know that what we have is the gracious gift of God, the gracious kindness and mercy that has been shown us. And the benefit of this gift? Eternal life. You know, I think our vocabulary can hardly compute that word. Eternal life. You know, we might, on a certain level, grasp it. We start thinking about time spans, distances, size of the universe. Those touch it, but that's not it. The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So the gift is eternal life. The focal point of that gift is the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the beginning and end of your faith and your comfort and your assurance is not that you're doing everything right, that you've checked every box, that you fulfilled every duty, but it's on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who says to you, who says to all who would hear His voice, "Come unto Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." rest for your souls. How often don't we struggle, question, doubt, worry, spend and be spent? And what we really want is right there before us. Rest. Contentment. Satisfaction. That we know who we are because we know whose we are. Isn't that so? And we know whose we are by what Christ came and did on our behalf, in the blessings and the provisions that His grace supplies. And the wonder of this grace, that it's a gift, is that there is nothing we ever have done, there's nothing we ever will do that will make us deserving of God's grace. There's nothing we can do to earn God's grace. All we can do is thankfully receive it, give thanks to God for it, maintain the thinking, right? Why is this verse in Scripture? Well, to forever teach us what we deserve and what God graciously gives. That, as with our earlier discussion, will bring us to our knees and will enable us to voice our gratitude and thankfulness to God for His mercy and His truth, for His grace and mercy as He supplies all that we need. So we will celebrate the Lord's Supper just a few moments. We will take and eat of the bread. We will take and drink of the wine in remembrance of what? In remembrance of Him, on how He made Himself our substitute, how He made Himself our Redeemer, how He accomplished in us and for us what we could never have accomplished on our own. Christ, I think we can say this, the wages of His death is our life. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So, in a certain sense, we are His wages. We are the apple of His eye, right? We are His prized possession. And if you want to tie these things together, go to the last verses of Isaiah chapter 53, the suffering servant. You know what it says there? While Christ was on the cross, it says that He could see His seed and was satisfied. He says, that's grace of God's love for us as His people. Amen. Father in heaven, we are grateful to You for Your grace, for Your love, for the price paid for our redemption, and for the full and free granting of that grace to us as Your people. Lord, that You've opened our eyes, our ears, and our minds. That You have given life where there was death. Lord, it's all You. We have nothing that we've not received. We make no boast but in Christ alone. Help us to do this in a way pleasing and fitting in Your sight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.